Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by Chuck McDowell and Medical House Calls, Middle Tennessee's best medical care in the comfort and safety of your own home. For more information, go to medicalhousecalls.com. Medical House Calls, where the nearest clinic is your home. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keys are here with you on this Thursday morning. A big one tonight for the Preds. High stakes game coming up between them and the St. Louis Blues. Preds have lost three games in a row. So from a couple of different standpoints tonight, number one, you're trying to end a losing streak here, get back to the winning side of things and snap that, get points back collected here. And number two, you're trying to hold off the Blues. The Blues are 6 points behind you. If you win tonight, Joe, in regulation, the magic number goes from 8-4. So again, magic number, for those who don't know, any points gained by the Predators or lost by the Blues helps you get closer to clinching a playoff spot if you're the Predators. Right now, that magic number is at 8. If they win tonight, that's 2 points gained by the Predators. If it's in regulation, that's 2 points lost by the Blues. So the magic number is at 4 at that point. So if you win tonight, Joe, then the pressure of missing the playoffs is not entirely off of you, but it's largely lifted if you can win this game. If you lose, particularly if you lose in regulation, you and St. Louis are both at 76 games played after tonight, and you're 4 up on them. And you went through their schedule yesterday. Like, the Blues, even though I totally realized that they just lost to the San Jose Sharks
4-0,
4-0 last weekend, so anything can happen. After tonight, the Blues have, let's see here, I pulled up the Sharks schedule, not the Blues schedule, but they do play the Blues Saturday night. So after this, it's the Sharks and the Blues again on Saturday night, the Ducks on Sunday for the Blues, and then Chicago on Wednesday. So three of the worst teams in the league coming up immediately after this for the Blues if they're able to beat the Predators tonight.
Yeah, so tonight is the difference between basically the rest of the way the Preds would have to have an unbelievable collapse to not make the playoffs. If they win tonight, it would be like an all-timer of a collapse, and I don't think that's going to happen. If they lose tonight, then this could go to the end. But that's the thing. I mean, you talk about, you know, cutting in half your magic number in one game, and then look at both schedules, and the Preds have certainly some manageable games and some tough games ahead in their schedule. I think this is the difference between a very interesting finish or basically not clinching, but kind of feeling like you clinched and now you got to take care of business, but you're going to probably have a little bit of time to rest, retool. Whoever needs to take a little break, take a little break, all that stuff, you know, which I think is beneficial going to the playoffs. I know some people are like, you want to keep playing your lineup and playing your best hockey going in. But if you don't have pressure on you in the last week, that's a good thing.
Yeah, and I do think, like, you know, Forsberg hasn't practiced in 2 months.
Forever.
He could probably use a break. Like, you know, he could probably use a break to – obviously there's something that's – I mean, Barry Trotz talked about a cut, right? There's something that he keeps re-aggravating and is not able to practice but is able to play. I don't think it's a huge deal. But it would be nice in like the last few games to have the option to maybe sit him down or Yossi down for a game or two. Maybe you don't want to do it like for 3 games, but like for a game or two to see if you could do that. So if you win tonight, you're more on the path to doing that. But I'll tell you, if you lose tonight, we had a texter in the last segment bring up some meltdown going on Twitter this week. If they lose tonight in regulation, there's going to be a freak out for the Predators fan base that ensues.
Yeah, and like that'll be, okay. Like if you were melting down the other night, I mean, if you want to melt down just about the power play, that's fine. That was a gross power play night for the Preds. But the 5-on-5 night was a great game between two really good teams. And we know Boston's a contender. Boston, you know, a year ago blew it in the playoffs, but they were like one of the best teams we've ever seen in the league, right? Yep. In terms of, and it's an excellent team now, and it was right there, zeros, well into the third, and you know you blew it on the power play, and you gave them the winning goal on a shorthander in the power play. But yeah, if you lose tonight, however it turns out, however it comes about, then okay, fine. Now you can start to have a little bit of a freak out.
Well, and the thing is, like, if St. Louis wins tonight, they're 3 points back of L.A. So they're still closer to passing L.A. than they are you. And, I mean, I guess there's a scenario, Joe, where L.A. could fall apart, St. Louis could pass you, and you could still be ahead of L.A. and be in the playoffs. Like, I mean, that could happen. But it would be best, your best path is to just go ahead and distance yourself between St. Louis and that final cut line and then worry about, like, again, Dallas at this point, they're at 105 points. Colorado's at 100. Winnipeg's at 96. So the second round match or the first round matchup between Colorado and Winnipeg is looking extremely likely at this point. So if you're the Preds, without catching Winnipeg, which you're 6 points back of them, not impossible to catch them, but I think it is unlikely that you're going to catch them, you're probably looking at either Dallas or Vancouver in the first round at this point. So, I mean, right now, your first wild, right now you'd be matched up with Vancouver. You're in the first wild card spot. They're at 102 points. Dallas is at 105. If you fell to the second wild card spot, you'd be with Dallas. You can. Some people have their druthers as to who that was going to be. Like, to me, it doesn't really matter. Like, just get yourself in the playoffs, and then you can worry about the matchup after that. But it is like the top of this is starting to take fold a little bit with the run that Dallas is on. They've won 8 in a row. It looks like they're going to be the one that finishes not only at the top of the division, but probably at the top of the conference right now.
At this point, yeah. And, you know, 6 games.
It could change.
It could change, but the way they're playing, 8 in a row, my goodness. Just out there, just they are peaking. Maybe they're peaking too early. Maybe they're peaking a week too early. You know,
maybe
2 weeks too early. But yeah, so right now you're set up to do the travel thing with Vancouver, which means they have to do the travel thing back here too.
Yeah.
So I guess I think like if I were you know Andrew Brunette and you just gave me the choice, I think I'd probably still pick Dallas. But I hear what you're saying. I mean, the way they look right now is pretty daunting.
Pretty good. I got a text that says, is Dan Hynote still running the power play? If so, what kind of dirt does he have on this organization to still be employed?
Wow.
I don't think Dan Hynote ever ran the power play.
Other than that.
I think Andrew Brunette is running the power play right now. So
what kind of dirt does he have on people? How is he still employed? Has he not been fired yet?
Does Andrew Brunette still have a job?
We've got him at 7:30. We can ask him why he hasn't been fired
Andrew,
yet.
Andrew, your thoughts.
Andrew, are you worried about your job?
Yeah, and some people think Carl Taylor can be promoted to play on the power play or coach the power play.
Play on it would be that'd be a story.
Be a unreal. Yeah, I saw
you
a
have couple to bring Milwaukee
people.
Into it, don't you?
No, but somebody else did, Joe. That's why I'm bringing it up. So
there.
Mix all things ads all the time. I like it.
Hey, Carl was very appreciative with my time there. He said, glad to have
you
here.
I'm sure he was very happy to have you.
Yeah, we need to get through this Pred stuff so we can get to, you know, Admirals playoff
run.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Your thoughts on a big game tonight, the Preds and the St. Louis Blues. Your thoughts on the way the Predators are playing. How concerned are you about the power play? We'll get into all that and more coming up next. Andrew Brunette at 7:30. All that ahead. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Thursday morning. Big night of fighting last night in the National Hockey League. We talked about the line brawl. Tanner Janot and Ryan Reeves chucking them last night. Old-time hockey out there.
Gosh, that last shot by Reeves on Janot. Holy cow.
I thought for a moment he might have legitimately got knocked out.
Give him a couple days off. But Janot, good job of trying to hang in there. The beginning of it, you can tell he's just like, oh God. Really? You got to do this?
This guy?
Ryan Reeves, really?
Whew. Hey, man. It's that time of year. I talked about it earlier. The intensity's
old school,
up.
Old school hockey.
Wouldn't be surprised to see one tonight. See the Blues and the Preds. Somebody chuck them tonight, whether it's Lozon or Shen. By the way, Luke Shen, good fighter.
Yeah.
Very good fighter out there.
Luke Shen and Stastny together. I like it, by the way.
Exactly.
Remember to ask Andrew about that.
Taking your thoughts on the Preds. Josh on the text line. Bruno just needs to tell him there's an Elvis concert at Graceland next weekend that they're certainly not going to after the last 3-game stretch. Straightest path to the cup. Thank you, Josh.
How about there's a plan for the whole organization before training camp to go see Creed in August? Sorry, guys.
You guys don't get it together. You're not going.
Not going to Creed.
Might make it worse.
Yeah, I know. What would that do? actually would probably, I would hope it would brighten the mood of everybody in the organization.
I think it would motivate them. I think there's probably a couple Creed fans in there.
I think hopefully they'd all be like, thank you. Gosh, I'd rather do anything else.
So the three-game losing streak, we talked about it yesterday. I still think 5-on-5, they're doing a lot of things well. It's not. I don't think their game is just like totally falling off a cliff here where they're in need of just total reparation to get it back. I think they're close, and they're just missing a little bit on the margins. I guarantee you, like, when Adrian Burnett comes on, one thing he'll talk about is the margins, right? Like, they're doing a little thing here, little things there, then end up costing them. I mean, even the other night, the power play was so bad, but they made a mistake where they got caught up ice. Ullmark made a great pass along the boards to Marchand, and then you get caught on a breakaway on your power play. I mean, that can't happen. So little mistakes like that that they're just making right now that they weren't making during the 18-game run, at least not on a consistent basis. And when they did make those mistakes, they were able to kind of score their way out of trouble and overcome it. So can you get back to that tonight? Joe, I thought, even though they got better as the game went on and created some good chances, I think you need to see more from O'Reilly, Nyquist, Forsberg than you saw the other night. And Boston's great defensive team. They got huge defensemen. I mean, I was going through their roster the other night, and I was like, 6'5", 6'5", 6'4", 6'2", 6'3". It's like, geez, they're gigantic back there. So it's a different matchup tonight. It's very difficult to get through Boston. But like Forsberg in particular, I thought he had a tough time getting to the middle of the ice the other night, and that's got to change tonight. That line, as good as of a story as everybody else has been, and you know, Evangelista and Novak, I think, are playing pretty well right now. But to me, you got to have that line going offensively if you're going to win, and see if they can get back to it tonight.
Yeah, for sure. Nyquist had a couple just dimes, you know, and they had some moments. Forsberg took a while. Keep thinking of these questions. We're going to ask Andrew here at the bottom of the hour, but I don't know. Is Forsberg, the lack of practice, it's been so long, and he's played so well through a lot of that stretch, whatever. But is there something to that right now?
Well, look, I thought by the time the third period came around, he was fine. He was a little loose with the puck, I thought, the first period and a half. But, I mean, he just got off a streak where he'd scored 7 games in a row. So I'm not worried about him.
Yeah.
He'd be fine.
I guess those facts
never practice again.
Probably good. Yeah. That's the thing. What if they do give him a rest and they get the postseason? And they're like, all right, Phil. I don't practice anymore.
I don't practice now. It didn't happen. Yeah. I'm Allen Iverson over here. We're not worried about practice.
Phil Forsberg, Legarius Sneed. No practice. No, show up for the games, man.
Show up and play out there. The power play, you know, Brunette talked about they look slow after the game on the power play the other night. I'm interested to see, like, we're almost 80 games in. So how many adjustments can you really make to the power play at this point? I don't know. I mean, to me, he seemed like it was as simple as just play faster. Like, if you play faster and make better decisions, quicker decisions with the puck, then you're going to generate more chances, you're going to generate more quality looks, and in turn, you're going to score more goals on the power play. I mean, that's a simplistic way of putting it, but Andrew Burnett very much harping on how slow the power play looked the other night, and that was apparently his biggest bugaboo with the power play all year.
Yeah. Well, it's like the other night, they couldn't set up. No. So, I guess, is that like there had to be a faster decision as soon as you crossed the blue line? I mean, there was an attempt. There were a couple attempts where I thought Boston made a good play.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Telegraph a pass, and you get a piece of it, and there it goes. It's going the other way. So the setting up is, obviously, you need to do that before anything else happens. But
tonight, when you have wide open nets, put them in there.
Yeah, there's that too, right. The Yossi wide open net, that was or was not on the power play?
I think it was.
Was it?
I think it was power play look. Yeah.
And that was an example of – that was great puck movement. I mean, that was
– Omar had no clue what the puck was.
Yeah. I mean, it was like, here you go, a gift for your, you know, for your Norris-level defenseman, and he just missed it, man. I mean, and that's the thing. It's
he had a body on him, and he was trying to get it.
He was trying to wait a little bit.
He was trying to go to the left. To wait out, not get a shot blocked, but that's when you gotta score.
And that's where you get into when it's going great, you know, something that maybe shouldn't go in does for you, and when it and all of a sudden it goes, it starts going the other way. A gimme doesn't go in, you know. So that's just the stuff that just needs to be washed away tonight, and just win a hockey game convincingly.
But this is
that's all I'm saying. Just win like 5-1.
Yeah, but this is a I think a it's a different test than what they've had because. You know, on the 18 game run, they played really good teams. I mean, on the road, played some really good teams, had some really big wins. So it's not like they haven't had big games that they've had to respond to. I do think this one's a little bit different because it's later in the year. I mean, the finish line's right there. I mean, you could see it if you're the Predators. And this one involves back pressure, right? Like, this one involves, like, if you lose it, I mean, it's not over. You still have a lead, and you're still mathematically going to be favored to get in the playoffs. But you're giving a team pretty significant life if you lose this one tonight. And the Predators, they've not really had a game like that this year. So I wonder, with this group, who we've talked about, has a ton of playoff experience. They've played in a ton of big games. I think another test for them tonight, and a different kind of test, to determine whether or not they can rise to an occasion in a situation like this, that's been it's a little bit different than one they've played all year.
And I did get the sense. Yeah, here's another question that would be good. I'm not going to have time for all these
30 minutes.
But I, yeah, you stay with us for the rest of the show, please. We'll get you a Zoom link. But I did get the sense. He said it. He's like, "This is good." There's a bigger picture here of also like trying to bring this franchise to a different place and trying to bring this core to the point where it's contending, and these are the moments where it's like, okay, let's see. I mean, you got a little pressure on you now, a little bit different situation in your building. So how do you respond? I think he kind of relishes it.
I think he does too. And, you know, Ryan O'Reilly, after he got done blaming himself for, like, everything imaginable the other night, which is what he does every time they lose, which is still one of my favorite things on the earth, he got to, like, basically embracing that. He's like, you know, this is a big game Thursday. You know, I hate that this time of year, though. Well, it's just like any other game, and I'm glad he didn't go that route. Like, it's not. Like, tonight's game is not like any other game. And it's a big game. You got to embrace that and be able to rise to the moment. And this is a veteran group with McDonough and O'Reilly and Yossi that have done a whole lot of rising to the moments in their career, and a big one tonight. Now, look, it's absolutely possible that they could play really well tonight and lose again. That can't happen. We've seen it, but I think most nights, if you can fix the power play and not have it be as just an anchor like it was the other night, and you play the same way you did 5-on-5, number one, you're going to see a couple goals go in for you that didn't go in the other night. And number two, I think you'll like where you're at the end of the night if you play the way you did 5-on-5 tonight.
Totally agree. Now, if you play well and you lose, at some point it's like, great, but, you know, okay,
yeah.
Now the stuff isn't working.
Right.
And so now, it's kind of like the power play maybe all year, but I mean, they've had good stretches with the power play.
Yep.
That's one thing to keep in mind. But you know what I mean? Like, when things get in your head a little bit and it becomes hard to get out. It's hard to lose when it's going well, and sometimes it gets hard to win when it's not. So you end that tonight is the main thing you want to do.
Coming up next, we'll be joined by Predators head coach Andrew Brunette. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser here with you on this Thursday morning. The Preds in action tonight, taking on the St. Louis Blues at Bridgestone Arena. Puck drop 7 o'clock, pregame 6 o'clock here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. We just went through the standings, a big one tonight for the Nashville Predators. And to help us talk more about that, we go to our 102.5, The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Predators head coach Andrew Brunette. Andrew, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Good.
Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. Andrew, I have to imagine, I mean, we were talking about, you know, just this time of year, the intensity ramping up, all the work that goes into training camp and getting through a season, and games like tonight, big matchups at home late in the year. Got to be what part of what makes this so much fun to coach and so much fun to play?
Well, I think it's just such an exciting time of year. You put work in all year to get to this point of the season where you're playing for everything. You know, basically we've been doing it for 2 months, but every night it's a different challenge. Tonight's a huge challenge of the team that kind of chasing us right now, and you're at home, and it's the best time of year to play hockey. I think if you ask any hockey player that's played, there's no better time to play than April.
Is this a find something out about some of these guys, in particular the young guys, night for you, Andrew?
No, I think just keep doing what we're doing. I think we've played the process that we've gone through has been outstanding through this whole stretch. And we didn't get the results the last couple of games, but we put the work in. We had guys that step up every night. That things just didn't go our way the last couple. So I think if we stick to what we do, stick to our identity, stick to our kind of a relentless style of play that we've carried on here for 2 months, it's all I'm looking for.
Andrew, you mentioned the power play the other night and how you want to see it be a little quicker out there. I think slow was the term you used the other night and through different points of the season here. When you're evaluating that, is it foot speed? Is it decisions with the puck? Is it a combination of the two? What specifically are you looking for to get faster and improve on the power play?
Well, I think the puck moves faster than we do, and I just think we're not moving fast enough. Not anything to do with foot speed or skating. Just I think a little more urgency in how we move the puck. I think we get a little stagnant, a little slow with it, looking for a better play. Those little things, and I think every power play goes through it. I don't know one that hasn't, you know, over the course of being around hockey as long as I had. And we do have that urgency and that desperation. I think I brought up the Vegas game and some of the big games down the stretch when we're down a goal or we need a goal. We have that button, that little button that we press, and that we play with that pace and that desperation. And right now we're a little bit of one where we're having a little hard time setting up. I'm not sure if we're working quite hard enough on the power play. I think we're looking for easier ice. And two, the puck's not moving fast enough, and that's an easy power play to check. And we've had played against some really good PK teams the last few, and they made it really difficult and uncomfortable for us. And we just got to get back to playing with a little bit more pace.
What about like the balance on that of, you know, trying to make that last great pass, or just get it up on the net, you know, and create something out of that? Like how does that factor into how you look at the power play?
Yeah, I think if you attack, and you get yourself into a position where not just shooting, but, you know, delivering pucks to the net with numbers, and then you break them down, and that's when you're going to get your pretty seams and those pretty plays. I think right now we're looking for the pretty play instead of let's deliver a few pucks. Let's try to, you know, I wouldn't say crash the net, but make plays around the net, force the PK to defend a little bit more, and then they get out in scramble mode, and that's when you're going to open up things, and that's where your skill kind of takes over. We're kind of skilling it ahead of you know, really putting the lunch, you know, the work boots on and attack the net and re-attack when we get it back.
Predators head coach Andrew Burnett with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So, Andrew, and we've talked about the run that Yossi's been on. The numbers have been outstanding in the second half of the year. From your vantage point, specifically when he's paired with McDonough, and we know how reliable McDonough is in his own end, how much do you think that frees up Yossi to attack offensively, knowing that he's got McDonough behind him when those two are together?
Yeah, I think they enjoy playing with each other, and they got good chemistry when they play. And I think with Yossi, it gives them a little bit more freedom to roam a bit, obviously with McDonough, not just his defensive ability and mindset, but his skating ability to close people like you saw last game, closed on Heinen on a breakaway, which was an unbelievable skating effort. So it gives Yossi, and then Yossi gets a little bit on his one-timer side. I think that opens the ice up for him a little bit on the right side. You know, a lot of times he's on the left, you know, with different pairings, and he seems to enjoy that. I think he likes, you know, going down the wall on his backhand, and he's so good at it. So I think that those couple little things, for me, it makes it work. But I think the biggest thing is, again, the chemistry they have between each other. I think they enjoy playing with each other, and it shows.
Andrew, you mentioned the hockey gods the other night, which I think of this stuff a lot. Like, the team's going well, and, you know, it's amazing how things start working out for you. You do the work to get to rolling as a team, and then things start working out. And then, whatever, bad night, bad break, and sometimes it starts going the other way. How much do you, I guess, believe in that? How much have you seen that in this league as a player and coach in terms of, you know, just momentum and how it seems to dictate luck at times?
Exactly. It's a phenomenon. I think I've seen it, you know, forever, especially you say the word momentum. I mean, I think that's something that when you have it, you want to keep it. And when you don't have it, you desperately want to get it back. And, you know, I think we lost a little bit in different times for the last couple of games. So and we had it going for a long time. So we it forces, I think you can, you know, and, you know, saying hockey gods very loosely, but it forces you to really consider, okay, if it's not going, we got to put more work in. You know, maybe it's a little bit an extra gear or an extra percentage we can put into the work. And if we continue to do the work, things will turn. And they always do. And I think that's been the belief in our group. And, you know, tonight's a great opportunity to switch the momentum around again.
Andrew, obviously you guys have gotten healthy on the back end here. How important not only is the depth in terms of the quantity of defensemen that you have, but also the different skill sets that they bring to the table, be that skating, be that physical play. It seems like you've got different options that you can go with on a nightly basis, which I'm sure makes those decisions tough.
Yeah, they do. I mean, it's never the worst job of coaching is telling a player he can't play, you know, I think. But in saying that, the depth we have some, you know, because we went through some injuries here the last 2 weeks or so, and we plugged guys in and they all contributed in their own way. They all have different skill sets. They all bring something a little different to the group. But we have some veteran guys that aren't in that know how to play, and we get in situations we need them. We're going to need them down the stretch here. And like I said, it's tough to make tough decisions, but tough decisions are, you know, it's a good thing too sometimes.
With Forsberg not practicing, Andrew, is it fair to say basically he's just got a nagging thing that, like, you would have to just completely stop playing for a minute to deal with? And I guess if you do get to the point where you're in good position here late season, would that be something you would consider?
I think it's very manageable. It's just kind of irritated, so I think it's something that it might take a whole off season to kind of let go of. But it's nothing that the forces him from day to day not playing. I mean, he could practice with it, but I don't think it's really going to help him out. It's just an irritating thing right now. So it's nothing at all major. I don't think missing one game or two games is going to make a big difference.
What are you seeing right now from Novak, Evangelista, Jankowski, that line specifically? It feels like, Andrew, they've reached a level here, just from the outside looking in, where they're generating and creating chances on a nightly basis. How important has that been for your group? Will that be for your group down the stretch?
Well, I think it's crucial. I think we rely on them, you know, so much for the offensive part. And if you look through the stretch of that stretch we had of 18 or whatever how many games it was, they were a big driving force of that secondary kind of offense. And we know what we're going to get usually with Phil and Factor and Gus's line night in, night out. And we know what we're kind of getting with the other lines. And they're the line that kind of stirs the drink offensively for us. And if they're going and they're creating every night, we're in a pretty good spot, because I think the way we play, that we're going to be in games, we're going to put ourselves in positions of games like the other night where we just need one play, and they're capable of making that one play, and they've contributed, and they're playing their best hockey this time of year, and we're looking forward to down the stretch here that, yeah, they're going to be important.
Do you privately look around, Andrew, and think about what possible matchups could be ahead in the postseason? I'm not expecting you to say it. I mean, you can say it to us if you'd like to rank your favorites, you know, here. But, like, do you let yourself even think about that right now? Or just,
not a chance.
Not at all.
Not a chance. No. I think, yeah, not a chance. I just got to get in. And I think we've done a good job of just playing the team that's in front of us today through that stretch. And I think that was good for us. It was a good learning experience that we don't look too far ahead. We don't look too, you know, anything behind. We just play what we got in front of us. And it's going to be a great challenge tonight against a very desperate team. And we have to match their desperation level. And we have to outwill them tonight if we want to win.
Well, Andrew, you've been around this game for a long time. It's not, you said, you know, just have to get into the playoffs, which is absolutely true in playoffs. We've seen it time and time again. Anything can happen. That's not really the case in every sport. Why do you think in hockey it's so, like, the margin of difference between teams is so razor thin?
Yeah, that's a great question. Yeah, I mean, I mean, obviously the parity in our league, night in and night out, I think it's a hard, hard lead to win in. And I think, you know, half the teams make it only. You know, I think 16 of the 32 make it. So it tells you 16 really good teams. And I think home ice advantage in the playoffs is, you know, doesn't always suit you the best. I think it adds a little pressure. So I think you see some upsets and some teams go in and put other really good teams on their heels. But I think what really sticks out is just the parity in our league. I think it's the hardest league in the world to win, in a regular season game in particularly. And playoffs makes it even extra hard. And especially that first round. I don't know if there's better theater in any sport than the first round of the NHL playoffs.
Mentioned home ice advantage. I know this year you've tried to figure out, you know, you guys are playing better on the road than at home for a stretch. But, it's gotten a lot better at home, and it feels like the crowds have really started to respond to how you guys have been playing. How have you, I guess, seen that change, both in terms of the building getting louder and also your performance there?
I think at times early, and maybe, again, I kind of said it might be a little bit of my fault. We're put a little bit too much pressure to get the crowd going, to play well, instead of just worrying about our game. And we kind of found our game, and the crowd will come. And we've noticed that the last, month or 2 months of the season, where it seems like every night is getting louder and louder. And it was so exciting the other night. It was too bad, but a little bit of letdown there with 5 minutes left, but it was pretty electric again. And that's the crowd that you remember. That's their home ice advantage that the Predators have had for years and years, from day one when I was here to coming in here as a visiting coach, a visiting player. When this building gets going, the excitement level gets going, the bench is shaking, the ice feels like it's shaking. I don't know if there's a better home ice in the league. So we can't rely on them. Obviously, we have to play better, and then they'll give us the boost, and we've done that of late.
Well, Andrew, it should be a really fun one tonight. Appreciate so much you taking time to be with us this morning, and good luck tonight. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys.
Absolutely. Thanks, Predators Andrew. Head coach Andrew Burnett, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Coming up next, it's time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road. We'll do that next. We'll take your thoughts on what Andrew Burnett had to say on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. All that coming up, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
Hey, you haven't played in years. Why can't I be quarterback, huh?
You're right. Let's see what you got. Hit me, I'm open.
Hi, hi, hi.
That's why. Now sit down and shut up.
Who are going to crush?
The Gods!
Who are going to kill?
The Gods!
Who are going to kiss?
The Gods!
Got you.
It is that time of the day, time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road. You can check it out every morning at 7:45 here on the program. Joe Rex Road's Rant of the Day. PK did not really give you your flowers yesterday about your rant, but that's okay.
That's all right. At least Keyser played a clip from the one movie he's seen in his life.
Big Longest Yard fan.
Have you seen that movie?
Yes, both.
Oh, you saw the original one?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm shocked by that.
You've got
Burt Reynolds, baby.
Hey, buddy.
All right, we've got hope. How about Smokey and the Bandit?
Yes, I actually have seen that one.
He's fine.
Well, we found the threat. I watched the Burt Reynolds.
Burt Reynolds.
Yeah.
All things Burt Reynolds.
How about Hooper? How about Gator?
Gator,
I'm start
yes.
bringing you some. You have?
Yeah.
Dude, he's watched some Burt Reynolds
he's
deep
all
cuts.
All things Burt Reynolds.
Yeah, I actually watched Smokey and the Bandit last summer. Actually.
Really?
Yeah, I did, yeah.
How about Smokey and the Bandit 2 with Dom DeLuise and the Elephant?
We started watching the second one and fell asleep, so there you go. Yeah, there was a marathon.
All right. Okay, well, this is good. Now, there's some movies you haven't seen that, you should almost be deported for not having seen them, but I like the Burt Reynolds thing. That's a good start.
As long as I end up in Canada, I'll be fine.
Of course.
How about
closer to Milwaukee?
How about Slapshot?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. All right. We're not okay. We're
you're good.
Yeah. New Michelle's not as bad as actual Michelle. On that.
Any
front.
More movies, so Joe?
All right. I mean, I can sit here. I could turn the rant into me quizzing program. You about movies.
Yes.
I am going to talk today about, I think, something that's really worth talking about. And honestly, in terms of rantability, man, I'm actually ranting. With myself, in my own head, I'm yelling at myself because I'm really not sure. But I need to bring this to the table to discuss it, which is the CST, College Sports Tomorrow, okay? And this is Andrew Marchand and Stuart Mandel, my coworkers at The Athletic, had this story yesterday. I know, I swear I'm not doing this just to promote an athletic story. By the way, you have your Roman Yossi story just dropped on NFL. Your Roman Yossi story, right? Dropped on NHL.com.
It did.
All right, see? So there we go.
Check it out.
Yes. I look forward to reading that. This is really interesting for people who haven't heard this yet. I'll tell you the people involved, okay? The CST, College Sports Tomorrow. It's a 20-person group, okay? It's led by Len Perna. He's Turnkey ZRG. That's the search firm that One thing they do heavily is they place conference commissioners. So Big Ten's Tony Petitti, that's a Turnkey ZRG. He led this. It's been a 3-year thing. But Brian Rolapp, number 2 in the NFL, is part of this. Sixers owner David Blitzer is part of this. 20 people, and including some college sports people, Syracuse Chancellor Kent Siverud and Gordon G., people know him, West Virginia president. This is what the Syracuse Chancellor said to The Athletic about leading to this college sports tomorrow. Quote, "The current model for governing and managing college athletics is dead." So quick explanation of what this is. And they've used this like Super League term. They should get rid of that. But it's the 70 programs that are in the five major conferences and Notre Dame. And then they're also going to include SMU. Okay, this is who they were. These are the permanent members of seven divisions, 10 team. We're done with conferences and all this stuff. This is basically.
I already hate it.
Yeah, I get it. I get it. I do. Now, this part I really like. I hadn't thought of like making it work this way. So the eighth division, there's the rest of FBS. So there's basically 50 of them, and that's that division relegates and rises based on performance. So, you know, again, like basically, yeah, you know, in a given year, Middle Tennessee could have a surge and get into that eighth division and be in this. Playoff spots are only by record. There's no more committee. There's no more any of that. It's eight division winners of the eight divisions, and it's eight wild cards, and that's it. And it's, you know, so then you're very much like the NFL and all that stuff. And of course, the money's a huge part of this, right? I mean, it's like you're trying to create this thing so where there's collective bargaining, so the athletes have a union. You've got NIL and whatever other, you know, money that goes into it, salary structure, all that stuff. Like, formalize it, professionalize it, and, you know, get rid of, you know, well, frankly, all these lawsuits that keep bearing down. And one mention here, you know, there's a ton out there. One of them in California is a class action suit about all of the NIL money that has been denied to athletes prior to 2021. So Siverud from Syracuse, another quote. Quote, "I really think conferences and the NCAA are at a significant likelihood of going bankrupt in the near future because of the lawsuits, both of the ones that are going to trial soon and those that will follow," end quote. So is that overly alarmist? Is that, you know, hyperbole, taking it too far? I don't know. I will say that I'm yelling at myself on this one because at times I'm like, you may have to do something like this. And these people have been working on this for 3 years. So this is not like, I mean, they're finally going public with this after years. And this is like one of the things that people have known about in general for years, that they've been working on it. Well, now here's the public unveiling. What do you think?
Well, I don't like it, but I also recognize that something like this is, I think, inevitable at this point. Like the current model and the current power structure is probably the best way to term it more than anything, is not sustainable. So what's happening right now in college sports, but particularly with college football, which is what's driving all this, like the idea that you can just say, well, the SEC, the Big Ten, those are going to be these two big power conferences, and Pac-12, you have fun out there. Big 12, you have fun. Like to act like you can sustain college sports the way that this thing is going right now without having an actual governing body that has true power, which the NCAA does not have right now. Without changing that up, then I do think you're headed towards bankruptcy to some of these programs, bankruptcy to some of these conferences. And it's clear that the formula has to change. Like Nick Saban has been very vocal on this since he's gotten out of the game of, like, you have to figure out a – you know, they haven't gone as far as to say like player unions and things like that, but you have to figure out how to organize this thing. And I think something like this that you've laid out there is probably ultimately going to be the way it has to be organized. And I don't like it. Like the idea of getting rid of conferences and like the SEC no longer really being a thing hurts me to my core, but it may be like, it may be the way that this thing ends up going here.
I will say, and this isn't really addressed in this, and this is a huge part of it for me. What I would hope is the SEC and all these leagues would exist for all the other sports still. Like basketball,
so. Yeah.
And you'd have your traditional, you know, rivalries and have, you know, you'd have your geographical, you know, sensibilities and things like that.
That way, when the NCAA tournament expands to 95 teams, you can still get the conferences in there.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. When you talk about this, I'm like, okay, but what about basketball? You know? I'm with you. I guess you could still – I mean, can you have a SEC division and it's 10 teams?
You could.
I mean, you just get rid of Arkansas and Missouri and all those, and you just go with your – original, of course. Who's gonna get cut out of that though?
Yeah,
because you had. Oh no! Wait a minute. South Carolina. What was the league? What was the size of the league when South Carolina came in? Was it 10?
I think it was 10.
Okay, so you go back to pre South Carolina, in what, 92 or whatever.
They came in. I think it was early 90s, 1990. So like September 25th, 1990 is when they officially joined.
Sorry, Beamer Ball. Get your butt out of there. You're done.
We'll see
you. Was it just them? It was somebody else, right? Because Missouri came in later, obviously.
A&M came in
Missouri
later.
Missouri and A&M came together in like 2012 or whatever, right?
I have to go look. I don't remember.
Yeah,
if it was.
Get it back to the original 10.
Yeah.
And call it the SEC. By golly. Let's do it.
I'm cool with it.
All right, I'm here for it. Let's do it.
Let's do it. We figured out the solution. All right. The college football, it's moving forward.
It is fascinating. Like, check it out, and it's going to be, it's going to be quite a ride, let me tell you.
You can check that out at The Athletic. We'll be joined by Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports coming up next. We'll get into the Stephon Diggs trade with him and all things NFL. We're broadcasting live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.